Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out. Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown. Oh, Kenyon Drake. A miracle.
Murray heaves it downfield. It is. It's caught. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous.
Fires. Mike said, Walker.
Go up. Training camps are on the horizon. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL. George and I have been doing conference previews. We're going to turn our attention today to the AFC and NFC MVP odds. Also going to look at some player props on FanDuel. George, it's great to be talking pro football here. I mean, training camps on the horizon, opening up over the next week or so. We broke down some key players. But look at the MVP race overall. I mean, over the last decade or so, it's a quarterback-centric award. And I want to ask you, you know, any shot this year that a running back or even a wide receiver could crack through for the trophy in 2021?
Well, is there a shot? Sure. There's always a chance. But the problem is, everything is designed for the passing game, right? I mean, that's what the NFL wants. They want to see 41-38 football games. Yeah, that's what the public wants. We all want high-scoring games. We want our overs. We want our fantasy points, our fantasy stats. No one wants to see a 10-7 game, a 9-3 game, something silly like that. We all want points. So there's a shot, but I would equate it to winning the MVP in baseball as well. Sure, a pitcher can win it. But that means no hitter did anything. No hitter did anything special, and a pitcher went bananas. You know, same thing happens to happen in football. No quarterback did anything special. You know, and there is some running back that ran for, 17 games, could run for 2,200 yards, something like that. A wide receiver catches 140 balls, you know, 20-plus touchdowns. Sure, then they got a chance. But those numbers got to be, in my mind, out of this world for a position other than quarterback.
Here's the thing, though, George. When you just look at, like, the award, right? Running backs are part of the NFL in terms of explosive chunk plays, right? Those are the ones that more times than not make the highlight reel. Now, we saw it in terms of the Heisman Trophy last year with Devontae Smith stealing the Heisman from both Mac Jones and Kyle Trask in the last 3 weeks of the season. And when you look at some of the running backs in the NFL right now, you have an Alvin Kamara, you have a Dalvin Cook, you have an Ezekiel Elliott. Those are fantastic, explosive type of players. So, and they do put up chunk type of yards. I mean, look at Derrick Henry, 2,000 yard rusher last year. So who's to say that when we look at it in 2021, one of those players might not be the key component for their offense, or more importantly, their teams, to maybe catch a title this year?
Like I said, it can happen, but it's going to be the quarterback. It's just going to be a quarterback. because no matter how you look at this, the quarterback drives the offense. There are very few, if any, true teams where it's running back first. We're going to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Or weren't we just making fun of a team yesterday? I forget what team it was, that because they didn't understand, they got to pass the ball to win. The head coach we were getting on, because he kept running it. It's not today's game. The game is not like it was in the 80s or half the 90s. You need to throw the football. Throw the football down the field. No one's matriculating the football anymore, as Hank Stram would say. Throw it. Put the ball in the air. Get that ball into the secondary. Let's go.
Well, not many head coaches wear a suit either, right? I mean, let's be honest. Like,
you're not allowed.
Back in the day with Len Dawson. But here's the thing. There have been four running backs to win the award since 2000. Want to take a guess on the last running back to steal the MVP? You want to take a guess of the year and the player?
I'm going to say year and player. How about CJ 2K?
All right, no, close. AP, Adrian Peterson in 2012, last won the MVP award. After that, it was 2006 with LT and LaDainian Tomlinson with the Chargers, and then Sean Alexander in 2005, and then a person that's been on this network with Sports Grid, Marshall Faulk in 2000. So think about that. When you think of all four of those players, I mean, explosive running backs, they could catch the football out of the backfield, a la Dalvin Cook, a la Alvin Kamara. I mean, who's to say that either one of those players, should New Orleans make a title run, or Minnesota, a team that I'm high on with Kirk Cousins, I mean, who's to say if Dalvin Cook doesn't rush for like 1,900 yards and catches 60, 70 balls that he can't win the MVP this year?
Because, what quarterback's not going to throw 4,500 yards, 5,000 yards and have 40 touchdowns? It's just going to dwarf it. It's the way it is. It's the way it is. 1,900 yards is not enough. If a running back can eclipse 2,000, I think they're in the conversation here. Got to set a record. I think if a running back or a wide receiver or tight end, Travis Kelce, you have to set a record.
Let me ask you this. All right, so to your point, Alvin Kamara had 83 receptions last year. If he gets 100 and 1,600 rushing yards, that's not enough to be the NFL MVP?
Talk to me what the top quarterback has.
Top quarterback, we'll say, is, let's say, either Mahomes, Russell Wilson, or Rodgers. They have 38, 40 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions, 4,500 yards.
Then he's got a shot. And with those numbers, I'd say he has a shot, because the 100 is a nice, it's a nice round number, which the voters also like, right? 100 receptions for a running back, wow. I still think it'd be better, though, for the yardage. Yardage is more important than receptions.
When we come back, we'll be breaking down the AFC. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, breaking down the AFC MVP odds. We talked about the possibility in last segment of a running back taking the title this year in terms of away from the quarterbacks. Christian McCaffrey back in 2019 did break the record in terms of running backs with 116 receptions, but only had 1,397 rushing yards. So you need a better effort than that. You need to be in the area of maybe 2,700 total yards. And when you look at the MVP, front runner in the AFC, it is Patrick Mahomes at 5-1 on FanDuel, followed by Josh Allen at 13-1, and then Lamar Jackson, George, that won this trophy a couple of years ago. He's a 17-1 shot. I got to be honest, I'm not sold on Lamar Jackson this year. Love him in terms of his athleticism, but I don't think he steals the award this year. I think you look to maybe a player like Josh Allen. If you want to go a little bit deeper, you want to take a running back. How about Derrick Henry at 50-1?
Henry, once again, another guy. He could be dangerous this year because he's going to rush for a truckload of yards. But I also wonder there with Derrick Henry, you got Julio Jones there now. So they're going to throw the ball a little bit more, right? Down the field, may take away some of his touchdowns. Well, not that Julio's ever been a big touchdown guy, but I could worry about that. Like I said, to tie up my money in futures, you know, which we're going to do with win totals and MVPs, I'm not going to bet on a running back or wide receiver. Just not good. You can't convince me. You just can't.
Even with the even with the extra game, George. Even with the extra 17th game,
it helps the quarterback just as much, if not more, because odds are quarterback's going to stay healthy. Most running backs get hurt. That's a big thing. Think about that. I know from being a fantasy player, we all go bananas about that. That are eight running backs that are going that people take in the first round, five are going to be hurt. They can win a certain amount of games. We all complain and bitch and moan about it. So there's another reason not to take a running back. Quarterbacks stay healthy for the most part. Of course, Dak Prescott, not so much last year. But I'm going to take a quarterback, and it won't be one of the top guys, by the way, because that's just not worth it for me. Yeah, Mahomes probably going to win. Rodgers probably going to win. But, I'm going to go a little deeper here, a little deeper than even Josh Allen. Josh Allen, as far as the favorites, is probably my favorite pick at 13-1. But I like going deeper. Pretty much I'm looking at 25-1 or better. And I Baker Mayfield, I keep going back to Cleveland no matter how much we go to this all the time. It's always back to Cleveland here. I think he could possibly do it. Or Tannehill at 32-1. I like both these guys as far as deeper plays. I don't think they're going to win the award. And this is what I'm going to say this over and over again. When I make this kind of bet, if I was betting for who I think is going to do it, I'm going to probably go with one of the favorites, Mahomes or Rodgers. Wouldn't be Brady, but Mahomes or Rodgers. But I want to get paid off here if I'm going to have my money held for 4 or 5 months. Give me Mayfield or Tannehill, and I'd probably lean even more towards Tannehill at 32-1.
The problem with both of those players for me is that they have dominant rushing games. You have Nick Chubb. You have Kareem Hunt for Cleveland. As that running game goes, so does really the success of Baker Mayfield, right? And then on the flip side, if teams stack the box and shut down Derrick Henry, I don't know if Tannehill's going to put up that gaudy type of numbers to lead Tennessee to more importantly, a division title, right? So that's the biggest thing. You need balance. And when I look at it right now, I say, okay, it's a quarterback-centric award, but there is a changing of the guard. There's an opportunity here with the 17th game for running backs to put up numbers that we haven't seen before. And even though quarterbacks can, we're used to that now. We just expect quarterbacks to put up 45 touchdowns, three interceptions, because it is a pass-happy league. So what can they do that we haven't already seen, right? I mean, do we really feel that Patrick Mahomes is going to chuck 60 touchdowns like Joe Burrow did in terms of LSU? Not going to really happen in the NFL, right? You're going to have games where he puts up maybe subpar type of numbers, maybe 280 yards, two touchdowns, whether it's a blowout win, and maybe he just doesn't play that well in the fourth quarter or they run the football. I think the running backs really have a lot of upside because they have the opportunity to maybe get to 2,200 rushing yards. If Derrick Henry gets to 2,300 rushing yards this season, he's a 50-1 shot to win it. I mean, that's great value there.
See, now, I like what you said there in the beginning, that maybe we're a little numb. A little numb to the quarterbacks with the extra game. Oh, great. Instead of throwing 4,500, you throw 4,800. Yay, nobody cares. So I kind of like what you're thinking is there. And that could help out the other running backs here. My thing is this. You mentioned Derrick Henry. Okay, he could run with 2,300, but he'll add almost nothing in pass catches, right? He's not that kind of guy. You and I looked during the break at Christian McCaffrey, who had the big year a couple of years ago. He had about 2,400 combined yards, receiving, catching, 19 touchdowns, didn't get a sniff. Yeah, so you got to do better than that.
But because his team wasn't in contention, really. And that's the other factor. It's like the Heisman Trophy, right? Your team needs to be making a title run. Your team needs to be in the mix so people understand, hey, who is that guy that's running the football? And they're in the playoffs. So if your team has a shot at the playoffs, which we both believe Tennessee and to your point about Baker Mayfield, Cleveland do, right? Even Indianapolis. The problem with Indianapolis, if you want to take a shot at Carson Wentz, is the inconsistency. 40-1, Carson Wentz. So there are some players there that could step up, but are they going to solely be that driver for the offense? We know Jonathan Taylor's there, T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman. So you want to bank money on Carson Wentz at 40-1. The head scratcher for me, George, is Justin Herbert at 20-1. I mean, Justin Herbert is shorter in terms of odds than Baker Mayfield, Carson Wentz, Derrick Henry, and Ben Roethlisberger, who's at 90-1. I mean, you really think that the LA Chargers are going to be that dominant this year in the AFC West?
Yeah, that number surprised me as well, which is why I'm not going to take him. I'm just not getting paid enough. You know, I would have thought he would have been more, probably maybe between Mayfield and Tannehill, 28-1, somewhere around there. Not 20-1. It's not that I don't think he's going to have a big year. I do. I think he'll play well. He'll throw for a ton of yardage there. But you made another important thing there. Now, Will, we could argue about this. I mean, people are going to argue about it anyway. Do you need to be on a winning team to get the MVP?
Yes, you know, you have to.
I agree. I think you do as well. I think the voters think you do as well because, hey, if you're in last place, well, then, you know, some schlub could have played quarterback or been running back in last place. You're still finishing last place. You know, obviously, if you're a winning team, a good team, then the quarterback and or running back did a lot of value there. So it's right. His most valuable player. So I agree with you. I think you do have to be on a winning team, which is why I'll knock some guys and Herbert be one of them. I like the Chargers. I don't think they're going to win the division. I'm not even. I don't even know they'll make the playoffs.
Exactly, and that's the question mark. When you talk about the award, we'll just look at past winners, right? Aaron Rodgers last year, team was in the championship game. Lamar Jackson the year before that in the playoffs. Patty Mahomes, right? Dynamic season. Tom Brady after that. Matty Ice the year that they went to face New England in the Super Bowl. Cam Newton, Rodgers again, Peyton Manning. And then Adrian Peterson in 2012. So when we actually realistically look at running backs and we say, okay, in the AFC, which guy is really going to step up? Now, they have Najee Harris with the Steelers as a complete long shot. I mean, if you love Najee Harris, I suggest you take him because he's 180-1 to win the odds in terms of the NFL MVP this year. Now, that's, I guess, expecting that Najee Harris rushes for 2,000 yards like Derrick Henry and maybe Ben takes a minor step back in terms of production.
Harris isn't winning it. Listen, you want to throw some money just so, you know, hey, for giggles here, you may maybe really get paid off, then fine. You know, do what you got to do. I don't mind that, by the way. Every now and then we do get a weird one, but no, I'm not doing that. I think Pittsburgh will try and run the ball more. I do, but even Ben in an interview yesterday said that the offensive line is going to be a work in progress. There's going to be some growing pains, I think is the word he used, because they've lost some guys, they've added some guys, and obviously the line does take time to play with each other, to know each other, to open up those holes. So Pittsburgh, I think, is going to be a problem all year long. I don't think I'll have many bets on anybody Pittsburgh anywhere.
You see, I think in order, if you're going to take a quarterback, right, you take a guy like Josh Allen because he can run. Now, he had 421 rushing yards last year, average over 4 yards per carry, but he's showing progression, right? That defense for Buffalo is going to be dominant this year. I think from a defensive perspective, they are the best defense in the AFC entering 2021. So we'll see. When we come back, we'll be talking about the NFC odds. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing our conversation about the NFL MVP odds, we talked about the AFC. Let's look at the NFC right now. You look at Aaron Rodgers is the front runner in the division at a 10-1 shot on FanDuel, followed by Taysom Hill. I can't believe Taysom Hill in New Orleans. They're giving him the edge in terms of beating out Jameis Winston, George. We're going to get into it after that. He has shorter odds, Taysom Hill, than Russell Wilson in the Seattle Seahawks, that starter. He's a 20-1 shot on FanDuel right now. If I had to put money on the NFC and a quarterback, it's going to be Russell Wilson. I think they win the division. I think they make a title run. I'm just not sold on Rodgers or Hill at this point.
Yeah, I think you're reading the wrong thing on Hill, by the way. I have 180-1 for him.
Oh, 180-1, excuse me. You're right.
All right. So when it comes to this, quarterbacks, I'm not betting on Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what's going to happen with Aaron. You know, I think he... I wonder if he's just not going to report until he has to for his contract not to toll. You know, and this is going to kill all of Green Bay. So if we get Rodgers, if we get Devontae Adams for any awards, I'm just not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not in the passing game, because he's angry. I think once we heard the report that he turned down all that new money, you know, which, well, I don't know what the structure was or how much it actually was, but he turned down new money no matter what. This is not a money problem. He wants, what he really wants to control his destiny next year. Hey, that's what he wants. He wants Green Bay to say, hey, you know, oh, we'll give you $5 million or more this year, and then that's it. We'll let you go. You know, we're not going to trade you. We'll just let you go, and you can choose your own destination. That's what he wants to do, what Tom Brady did, you know, to be able to choose. And, of course, Green Bay doesn't want that because they want to be able to get that, something. Though?
Can he do? We know about the talent, but Tom Brady up until last year won six Super Bowls, right? I mean, he could afford to do that and pick who
he
wants.
Well, he was a free agent, so it didn't matter,
right? But he still could write his ticket. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, as great as he is, there's been great quarterbacks before that either won one or two and haven't been able to write their own ticket, right? So from a talent standpoint, yes. From a winning standpoint, in terms of titles, does he really have that entitlement entering 2021?
It's a damn, listen, he feels wronged by the organization. He's ticked. He's pissed. Let's face it. He's angry. He's an angry man. I don't know exactly what's going on there. I think he feels like he was lied to. You know, they drafted the quarterback. They didn't draft him another wide receiver. They're not helping him, that sort of thing. So I think that's how he feels. And now it becomes a game of chicken but on both parts here. Because like I said, right. Would Aaron hold out until, what is it, week 8 for your contract to count for, you know, for the season to count? You know, so he could hold out till week 8, pretty much screw Green Bay's chances this season. You know, and then, hey, they'll trade him during the offseason. Or is he willing to sacrifice all that money? He's already lost whatever money he for not reporting to minicamp. Was that $50,000? Right. And now it's $50,000 a day for training camp he misses. You're talking 30 days. That's what, $1.5 million. You know, yeah. I think training camp's more than 30 days. So, and plus, now you're talking 8 game checks. Is he willing to sacrifice all that? I mean, he can't retire because then Green Bay could claw back. They could claw back on his signing bonus. So he's not going to retire. But is he going to do? Is he willing to do that? That's the, once again, this is the game of chicken that both sides are playing. Green Bay could call his bluff. No, we don't think we're going to show up week one. You're going to show up week one. He can make life hell, you know, be a pain in the neck and not do anything extra. But this is the game of chicken they're playing here. But I think Aaron, maybe he only sits out 2 weeks to make a point. I don't know. That's the bottom line.
It's going to be a detriment either way. And I said it before, even if he comes back to Green Bay, I'm selling Green Bay the whole year. I did read that wrong. You're right about it, Taysom Hill. Let me give you the order of odds right now for the NFC. It's Aaron Rodgers at 10-1, Dak Prescott 15-1, followed by Stafford with the Rams 17-1, and then Russell Wilson. You have to ask yourself right now. I mean, Dak Prescott, we know they're the front runners, right, for the NFC East. If he's healthy, they can soar through their 9.5 win total on FanDuel. If Ezekiel Elliott just comes back to 80% of his form, right? Forget last year with the fumble problems, the lack of vision, the injuries. He should be more focused in 2021. If the running game is there with both him and Tony Pollard, that's going to add balance to that offense. You look at the playmakers for Dak Prescott. I mean, not bad value. 15-1, you got to believe that they're going to be in the hunt for the NFC East, right? So there's a legitimate playoff spot already. Why not Dak Prescott to come back and bounce back in a big way? Not just maybe comeback player of the year, but NFL MVP.
I mean, you make a point. Because if you believe Dallas is going to have a good season, which we said you have to, right? You have to have a good team, at least a playoff team to really make the to get the MVP. Well, if they're going to be that team, you think they're going to win 10 games, win the division, whatever it might be, well, they're not doing it with defense. It's going to be because they're winning a lot of 35-31 games because that defense is not very good. The offense is very good. If they can stay healthy, they will put up plenty of points. The problem with Dak is not the numbers. The numbers are always good when he plays. The problem is the numbers who he puts them up against. Generally, he does not play well against good teams. And this is not just me saying it. You can look up the numbers. Last full season he played, he was 1-7 against playoff teams. And I'm not talking, oh, hey, they lost 38-35 to all the playoff teams. No, that wasn't what it was. His numbers were horrific against playoff teams. Everything was down. So that's the issue here with Dak. Can he play against good teams? And the voters will be looking at that, by the way, because it's been so publicized now. They'll be looking at that. So 15-1 is a nice number. I think, once again, He's going to have great numbers at the end of the season. But yeah, Dallas, maybe they win with division. Maybe it's Washington. I think the Giants are being a little underrated here. I don't have great faith here in the Cowboys because of the defense, because of how they play against good teams. So not my favorite pick, but I have no doubt, once again, that his numbers will be great. If you're a fantasy player, I think he's a top three fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, without a doubt. Here's the question, though, about Dak and the other quarterbacks, maybe in the NFC or just in general right now. In terms of Lamar Jackson's season a couple of years ago, he set a ceiling, right? So anything under that in terms of the rushing yards, are voters going to be wowed by that? Like if Dak Prescott rushes for 600, 800 yards, it's good. But compared to what Lamar Jackson did on the ground a couple of years ago, is that going to be enough for them to get the MVP this year? Right? So we need that extra incentive. You know, we need that extra boost. So when you look at Russell Wilson, yes. What if the Seattle Seahawks are 14-3 at the end of the year? Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf explode this year. Wilson throws for 45 touchdowns and rushes for another 900 yards. Is that enough for him to steal it at 20-1? I think so, because I think they're going to have the best team in the division. I still am sold on what he brings to the table. So I only look at two players. I'm sold on Stafford. To me, he's going to be garbage this year. I know a lot of people are pumping him up. But I'll take Russell Wilson as the front runner for me at 20-1. And then Dalvin Cook, to me, at 75-1. Are you kidding me? This is the upcoming team for me in the division. And you got a dual threat running back that rushed for 1,500-plus yards last year. And if he's healthy, he could be a 2,000-yard rusher in 2021.
All right, so let's start with Russell Wilson here. Now, for some reason, he doesn't get any love for the MVP. I have no idea why. I don't know. Is he just being unlucky? The years he has big years, there's always someone who has a bigger year? All right, maybe. But he doesn't even get votes. For whatever reason, he doesn't get votes, which I think is amazing, because what he's done for that team, I've joked about this so many times. It's when they were in the huddle for a while, he was just drawing up plays. Listen, guys, I'm going to run around here. I'll keep the play open. You just eventually get open. I'll find you. That sort of thing. You know, so it's ridiculous here. Now, he's not going to run for 900 yards. He's never done that. He's never run for more than he's only run for more than 586 once. You know, and that was in 14, 7 years ago. So he's going to run for somewhere probably around 400 to 500. It's about what he does. His passing numbers will be somewhere around, it's usually around 4,200. Maybe he'll get a little bump with 17 games, 4,400. So I get it. He doesn't have a lot of sexy numbers. You really have to take his overall play into account here. I think he's a better, you know, I think he's a better NFL quarterback than the voters just give him credit for. For whatever reason, he doesn't get the votes. I think he deserves them. I absolutely think he deserves them, but I don't think, like I said, he doesn't get them. So I'm just going on past history here, and I'll stay away from him. I like your Dalvin Cook pick. I do. For a non-quarterback, I like Dalvin Cook a lot, mainly because Zimmer is a runner. He doesn't want to throw the football. He is one of those coaches who wants to run the ball. And Dalvin Cook is a great running back. But I have two problems here. One, Cook healthy? Generally not. Never played 16 games. Or 17, right, for that matter. He's always, I mean, he hasn't missed a lot, but he's missed two games the last season, the year before, five the year before that. How many games am I going to think he's going to play? I mean, really, how many games do I think he's going to play? He needs to play to get those numbers. If he's going to miss three games, he's not going to get those big numbers we need. We're going to need that running back to play. I mean, maybe they miss week 18 now because of, they have everything clinched up to play for. They're going to the playoffs, they rest them. You know, so that's already one game. He missed a couple of others. Well, that's a lot of trouble there. So that's one reason why I'm going to be very hesitant with him. The other was Madison. You know, Alexander Madison, good running back in his own right. They might give him some more carries to make it a little easier on Cook. I do wonder, Joe, with all running backs, are coaches going to – they always say they're going to do this in preseason, and they never do. But I just wonder with the extra game workload management, if they do follow through on it more this year with Madison, Cook, Pollard, Zeke, you know, when they have good backups, if they're going to follow through on their workload, take a little easier on their top back.
Yeah, and we talked about this, George. What does it take for a wide receiver to steal it, right? DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Adams, 120-1. They're going to have to get to 2,000 yards, a la the way Calvin Johnson did that we spoke about, 1,900-plus yards. They have to get to 2,000. If they can do that, maybe at 120-1, they're worth a chance.
The problem for the wide receiver, and I know we're up against it here, is that, well, that means your quarterback went nuts too. And so what are the final numbers for the quarterback? Devonta Adams means Aaron Rodgers did play this season, right? I don't think Love's going to do it. So what kind of numbers did Rodgers put up then? You know, you got to worry about that. I would like it more with a top receiver going bananas with an average quarterback.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll talk about the wide receivers and some player props in next segment. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Breaking down the NFL MVP odds, we're going to turn our attention right now to player props for 2021. We were talking about the NFC players, and one player in particular, Kyler Murray, is 23-1 for the Arizona Cardinals to win the NFL MVP. His teammate, DeAndre Hopkins, at 120-1. But George, when you look at his player prop this year in 2021, a dynamic season last year, the team was 8-8 overall. This is a team from the gambling aspect, a lot of backers and a lot of bettors think that can go and surpass their win total this season. Kyler Murray under and over passing yards in 2021, 4,150.5 at -112 either way. You going over or under with the extra game?
I'm going over. We saw improvement. Yeah, we saw improvement last year. It was modest improvement. He had 3,700 in 19, almost 4,000 last year. So now you're asking me with an extra game to get 200 more yards? Yeah, and the team's better. You know, they added some pieces on defense here. A.J. Green, give me the over on Murray passing yards.
I'm with you because here's the reason why. They're going to trail in a lot of games or possibly be playing from behind. That defense is atrocious, right? So you add A.J. Green, you add newcomer Rondale Moore with Christian Kirk, and now you throw in DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best wide receivers in terms of the NFL. You have an opportunity to put up 40 points per game, right? So they're going to look to outscore teams. This is going to be Texas Tech 2.0 in Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury at the helm. And if you're telling me 4,150, that seems light. I guess the only thing that maybe can hurt you is he was banged up a little last year. Does he run a little bit more, maybe like Lamar Jackson, where he doesn't get to the 4,000-yard mark? I just don't see it this season.
Well, like I said, just doing quick math here. Like I said, he had 3,971 last year passing yards. So you divide that by 16, comes down, and then you give him the extra game, it would come down to 4,219 this year. So that's what they're going by. You know, they're giving you a little bit of a break there, 40 yards higher, lower actually. So that's where I'm going with it. I agree. I think he'll get better. I think he'll make modest improvement. That's where I'm going with this. The numbers say, right, as long as if he does what he did last year, he surpasses the mark. Granted, right, you need health. You need health. That's always important.
Need health. Health is the biggest thing. Now, we'll look at Lamar Jackson, and we talked about him last year. This was an offense in Baltimore that averaged 191 rushing yards per game, first in the NFL. He's a 17-1 shot to win the trophy. Won it a couple of years ago, back in 2019. This is a high number for him. I'm sorry. I know they added Rashad Bateman. They added Tylan Wallace, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma State. We talked about it in break. Under and over for Lamar Jackson passing yards in 2021, 3,400.5 at -112 either way. I want to say over, but I just haven't seen it to this point in his career. I'm going under 3,400.5 this year.
Yeah, you and I have our money in the same place here. He's never come close to that, right? 2019, the MVP year, he had 3,100. Last year, in 15 games, he did miss the one game. He had 2,757, but that's still not on pace to get it. So he pretty much he is what he is there. With the extra game, plus, here's another thing that's going to worry me about any running quarterback. An injury could happen at any time. Anytime, right? So I'm with you here. I'm going to go under.
All right, here's an intriguing one with Stafford, right? They have the injury now to Cam Akers, so Darrell Henderson steps up. We already talked about their wide receiver core. Okay, Tutu Atwell, he's a burner, a Tyreek Hill type of player, but he's only a $150, $160 in terms of weight. Can he sustain that over the course of a 17-game season? People love Robert Woods. I do, too. I think he's more of a possession wide receiver, a pure number two, not a number one. And Cooper Kupp had some injuries last year. He's a slot receiver. Do we think Matt Stafford could get to 4,550 and a half yards this year at minus 112? We know they're going to chuck it. This is the quarterback that's supposed to take the Rams to the promised land. You have the mad scientist McVay, but at the end of the year, he was a run-heavy type of coach. As that running game went, so did the team. I don't know if he gets to 4,550 and a half this year.
I'm leaning yes. Now, I don't think we're asking for all that much. His numbers generally tell you, yeah, he does it in 16 game seasons, pretty close to it. You know, he was hurt in 19. He only played 8 games. But one other thing I like, every year the man plays football. From 2011 through 2018, didn't miss a game. Last year, didn't miss a game. He's looking at 4,100 yards, 44-50, 43, 42-50. This is what, you know, he had Calvin Johnson, but not much else there. He's got better supporting cast here. I think he does it for the reasons you mentioned. My only worry is this. Now, he plays, but he does always seem to be nursing some kind of injury, right? He plays the cast on his thumb, stuff like that, but he plays. He's going to play through it. I'm leaning yes. It wouldn't be a large amount here, but I'm leaning yes, he gets over.
All right, well, let's look at your Dallas Cowboys. We agree that if Dak's healthy, he's going to put up numbers, right? If that running game is healthy with Zeke, right, he's going to have offensive balance. Now, we talked about Dak Prescott in terms of his totals to win the NFL MVP. What about his teammates? CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, respectively. Amari Cooper right now, 1,200 and a half receiving yards, under or over, and CeeDee Lamb, 1,050 and a half. I think both of those players sailed through those totals this year.
I definitely like Lambs to get over. He's a mismatch in the slot. He's just a mismatch in the slot for everybody. Cooper, you know, the guy always seems to be banged up a bit, but him and Dak do have a very good rapport there. I'm with you. I think they go over. Gallup, by the way, he's going to steal some targets as well here. Gallup is a good player. If they didn't have Cooper or Lamb, we'd be talking Gallup and how good this guy can be. He's a very good player here. Another thing to consider is that Cooper and Gallup are pretty much playing for contracts. Dallas can get out of Cooper's contract after this year. A lot of his guaranteed money is gone. So if they want to move on cap problems and go with Lamb and Gallup, and they have to re-sign Gallup, they can do that. So it's a very interesting year that way as well. Cooper and Gallup are really playing for the dough. Have big years. Cooper will then have his contract. He'll stay with Dallas. And if Gallup can have a big year, he could get the big contract.
I like Gallup. He always seems to step up in a big spot. It's never Amari Cooper, right? Cooper will score in the first or second quarter. You need a third quarter touchdown reception. It always seems like it's Michael Gallup. You know, they can't cover him in terms of the critical game time situation. So we'll see about that in Big D. How about Kyle Pitts? This was the world beater at the tight end position. You had to have Kyle Pitts, fourth overall for the Atlanta Falcons, right? Under and over for his receptions in terms of receiving yards this year, 800 and a half at minus 112. Arthur Smith is there. I don't care. He utilizes the tight end. I don't care. Matty Ice is aging. There's no way Kyle Pitts gets to 801 this year. I'm selling it on FanDuel under 112. I'll take it every day of the week.
Ordinarily, I would be right there with you. First year tight end, the history tells us it doesn't happen. Tough position to learn because you got to be able to block, you got to learn all the route tree and everything else there. My worry is this. Another team that defense not very good. They're going to have to throw the ball a truckload. Julio Jones isn't there. All those targets have to go somewhere. They're going to play a lot of two tight end sets here. I could see it happening. I can. Like I said, the history tells us no, it's going to be under, maybe well under. But I think they have to make Pitts the focus. They don't have a choice because they passed up a quarterback that they might need in 2 years to get this guy. I'm staying away. I'm going to end up not betting this either way because of that. I think they're going to have to make him the focus and maybe even force the ball into his hands at times.
Okay. All right. We'll see. We'll turn my attention to my Miami Dolphins. They draft Jalen Waddle, the pocket rocket out of Alabama, dynamic five-tool type of wide receiver to give Tua another weapon. Under and over this year for Jalen Waddle receiving yards, 750 and a half on FanDuel, minus 112. He's a 1,000-yard receiver this year. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it. He is that explosive Tyreek Hill type of player. We've gotten reports that the ankle's 100% healed. He can run. He's a burner. He might be the most polished wide receiver coming out of Alabama over the last 5 years, and that's incredible when you think about Jerry G, Calvin Ridley. The list goes on and on and on. What do you feel about Jalen Waddle this year?
All right, 750 yards divided by 17 is 44 yards a game. You're telling me he can't get 45 yards a game? I think if you're betting the under here, it's not Waddle you're worried about. You're worried about Tua, and I understand that. I can live with that. I can make that argument to you that, you know, hey, Tua regressed. He's not the quarterback they thought he was going to be, and that's what happened here. But if you think Tua is any kind of quarterback, you're not asking for anything here. You're just not asking for anything here. Give me the over.
All right, let's talk about Kenny Golladay. Comes from Detroit, comes with Daniel Jones. Saquon Barkley's healthy. They tag a 1,025 and a half on Golladay this year. Do you have enough confidence in Daniel Jones to get him the football? You add Kadarius Toney, the speedster out of Florida. I don't know if Golladay can get there. On paper, it looks like there's no way he shouldn't eclipse this in possibly game number 14. But it is the Giants. It is Daniel Jones. I have concerns. They might run the football a little bit more than people think, even though they have these elite wide receivers.
Well, if he doesn't get there, the Giants overpaid him. And if he doesn't get there, it means, and once again, assuming health there, then Daniel Jones is gone next year. All right, he'll be out of a job. There's no way. I mean, I know Jones has been very disappointed, but the offensive weapons are there. I don't know if the offensive line is there. I think it's better, but I don't know if it's there. But the offensive weapons are there. Barkley's back healthy, so Tevis will have to respect that. Shepard, Slayton, Tony, that's a nice group of receivers. Whatever you want to say about Ingram, he's there. Rudolph, I mean, the weapons are there. He should be able to get that amount. Once again, you're not asking for a whole lot for your number one guy here. You're talking 1,020. We're talking 60 yards a game. 60. All right, so I don't feel
Daniel
great about
Jones.
It. I know.
It's
not Golladay. It's Daniel Jones that we're worried about here.
Right,
still,
exactly.
I lean over. I don't love
all
it,
right.
But I lean over.
All right, well, here's three running backs that I'm a little, like, looking at this, and this is a little odd to me. Alvin Kamara, they have a total of him of 950 and a half rushing yards at minus 112. I know he did his damage in the passing game, right? But if New Orleans has a sniff at a playoff berth this year, they're going to need to run the football. How about Austin Ekeler? Every fantasy player loves this guy. 825 and a half rushing yards. And then the last one is Dalvin Cook. That he's my NFL MVP, and this solidifies it for me. 1,399 and a half for the 2021 season. You going over or under on these players?
All right, so with Dalvin Cook, that comes out to about 83 yards a game. My problem with Dalvin is health. It's just going to be health because you'll probably need to average more than that now because of his health. I doubt he plays 17 games. I mean, I'd be shocked.
I think he will. I think he's determined. And what they did on the offensive line with Wyatt Davis and Darius Shaw, I think he's going to have a huge year. I think he's going to be close to 2,000 yards. That's my best pick right here, over and the NFL MVP.
I'd go over as well, by the way. I'm just saying I would be. I'm probably not as bullish as you, which, by the way,
right.
If you live on Long Island right
Ekeler?
Now, the bull is a big word there. We have a bull running loose. not kidding. I'm not kidding. We actually have a bull running loose. Been running loose now for about 40 hours now in my area. So
saddle. You don't put a saddle tomorrow, on that and ride it.
Yeah, I'm going to get right on that. Right on that. Right after the show. Go out my backyard and get a saddle.
See if you can saddle Ekeler. Austin Ekeler. His 825 and a half. He's not a 1,000-yard rusher this year. No, he's not even close.
I agree.
When we,
taking the under
when we come
well.
Back, George and I will be wrapping up the NFL MVP odds, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's conversation on the NFL MVP odds, we're going to give two of our picks in each division. I'm going to go with Josh Allen as the quarterback in the AFC and back it up with Derrick Henry in the AFC. In the NFC, I'm going with Russell Wilson at 20-1 and Dalvin Cook, my sleeper, 75-1, George.
Yes, and I like both those picks of Allen and Dalvin Cook. Allen, to be honest, I'm not getting a good enough price, so I'm going to go a little deeper than that. I see them on the Cleveland bandwagon this year, so give me Baker Mayfield. Odell Beckham's back. I love the running game there. I think it's one of the best all-around teams in the AFC. Give me Baker. The NFC I struggle more with here. Give me Christian McCaffrey. You know, I like what Rule's done there. I think they're going to focus. He'll be the focus of the offense. I think he's going to catch a million balls here. And the yardage, hopefully, to boot here and the touchdowns. It's all about McCaffrey. Give me McCaffrey and Baker.
Well, we'll see how that plays out. As training camps open, storylines are going to start to come in. We're going to know which teams are prepared for the season, which teams aren't. George and I are going to start to break down the week one lines. We'll give our early assessment about which teams we feel might have an edge heading into the start of the 2021 campaign. I guess the one player for me, George, that we really didn't touch on in that much was Alvin Kamara, right? One of the most lethal running backs in the league. They're going to need him to be healthy no matter who starts for quarterback, whether it's Hill or Jameis Winston. If Alvin Kamara is not 100% or he doesn't even get to 1,000 yards, don't even expect New Orleans to be a playoff team this year.
Oh, agreed. Absolutely agree. Kamara has to go nuts. Yeah, he has to be the main guy there for them to have anything, any chance. And Kamara and Thomas have to stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the concern for New Orleans. And how long do you expect, George, that quarterback battle to maybe play out? Do you think it's a couple of games in the preseason? Does Peyton allow it to get that far? Or does he come in after maybe a week of camp and name a starter so that the team knows who their leader is this season?
I think Peyton knows who the star is going to be, but he's not going to let anybody else know. Why let the opposition know? So he'll keep it quiet, but it's going to be Winston.
We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money